when you became chair of the Rules Committee, I thought it was really boring. It was a really boring committee. But now that we see what's happening on the national scale, it sort of tells us how important it is to vet people that are appointed. And that's one of the things that the Rules Committee does. Mm-hmm. So I started to become interested in what actually do you look at?
Well, a little history, Susan, about the Rules Committee. I became the chairwoman of the committee back in 2002. And, of course, that's after a tumultuous 2001 that happened. But when I became the chair, it took a few years to understand what my role was as the chairwoman and, of course, what the committee's purview. As I, in the role as the chairwoman, began to understand more about the importance of those who are coming in front of the committee for confirmation hearings, it was very interesting that we would have persons in front of us, and then the media would contact me and say, did you know this about this person? Did you know this about this person? Did you know something about this? And before we knew it, both myself and committee members and staff began to figure out, well, what's going on here? From the governor's office, we're not receiving any information on this person other than they're a good, here they are, here's their resume, and that's what we would go off of. Okay. So as the process developed, instead of having the news media call me and say, did you know, I didn't want to be on the back end kind of saying, well, mm-hmm. It's just not in I think, what the Senate Rules Committee should be doing. So we did. In 2006, we began having discussions with committee members, and Senator Benny Altamirano was serving as our pro tem at that point in time. He served on the committee, and it was an interesting discussion that we had. And in 2007, we adopted a resolution by the Senate Rules Committee that essentially gave the committee purview of actually doing an investigation on all those who come in front of the Senate Rules Committee. And, of course, when you look at the, I call it the monstrosity of appointees in the state, there's over 2,000 positions that can be filled for boards and commissions. So that's a lot of people. So what we did in the Rules Committee, after the committee said, yes, let's go and proceed with a backgrounds check, we developed a questionnaire. And the questionnaire, of course, has grown a little bit more in depth. Initially, it was just, you know, who are you? Where have you been? Of course, resumes were given. And then as we began to do asking for investigation purposes, this was under Governor Richardson, the initial was the state police were willing to do and help us with our investigations. And then there was a conflict between myself and the executive, Governor Richardson, on some of his appointees. And he subsequently cut off the state police from helping us with our background checks.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So when he did that, I was left sitting there going, oh my gosh, so now what do we do? And I think it was kind of a blessing in disguise. So what we did is we went through and interviewed and hired a private firm that does our background checks for us now. He's good. He doesn't overly charge us. He doesn't snoop other than he does NCIS backgrounds with the person that's coming in front of the committee to see anything with regards to, you know, sex offender registration, anything that he can find in various states for where they have listed based on the questionnaire.
Okay.
So that process is there. We do have also an agreement, an memorandum of understanding with the Attorney General's office also, where they also do a financial background also for us. So we do a criminal investigation and a financial that come in front of the committee, and essentially it comes to me as the chairwoman.
Mm-hmm. When you do the financial, do you find out what investments they have or just what jobs they have, or what's that?
Well, the financial information essentially tells us if there's any bankruptcies. It's kind of a money trail as to where and what's happening. It doesn't really talk specifically about investments. We haven't extended it to that full extent. There's always possibilities, but I have not been willing to go that far in.
Okay.
And so that happened for the historical purposes under Governor Richardson. And so we have been proceeding with that type of a format that we have for the committee. And questionnaire that we give to the confirmees is grown in pages because there's always some other issue that has come up with regards to maybe something that has happened on a question from past confirmees. So I think we're at a formal place at this point. It says this is our questionnaire. And when a person is nominated, they receive a questionnaire from my staff. They fill it out and they give us permission in which to do a background check. And then we send it off.
When you get the material back, do you give it to the Republicans on the committee also? Do you give it to the whole committee or what do you do with it?
No, what I have been able to do at this point in time is just to keep it within the purview of the chair. Oh. So it's just myself. My staff doesn't look at it. And I do a comparison between the questionnaire and from the background information that I have received. If there's a discrepancy from what the questionnaire answers and from what the background check information is, then I bring that person in and he or she sit in my office and we have a conversation.
Because you meet with each of them before they come before the committee.
We try and meet not with totally everybody, but especially with the heavy hitters. And I say that because what we have done over the years is that there's a group of people that do come and that we do a background check on. And namely, it is those who have regulatory authority. They can write, promulgate rules, which affects all of us in the state of New Mexico. So cabinet secretaries, those who sit on the State Investment Council, anything that has to do with finances where they have their fingers in there to make rules, to vote on, to disperse monies and such. Those are the persons that I do as the committee chair, a background check specifically. There are other boards and commissions in the state that not necessarily promulgate rules and such, but they do oversee smaller institutions and places that they just do the questionnaire, and that's sufficient right there.
Okay. Can you remember having come up with something that made you reject somebody?
There have been in a few times. There was one under Secretary Marcantel, one of the recent appointees for the Department of Corrections. He had answered on his questionnaire no on a question. In the background check that came in front of my eyes, there was a discrepancy. So I did let him know that there was a discrepancy, and I brought it to the attention of the committee. Oh. And we didn't reject him. But he had to come and tell us why there was a discrepancy.
Okay.
There was one person also, he was a former astronaut that was appointed under this administration, Governor Martinez, and he refused to go through the background check, period. He refused to sign. And, you know, he had clearance here and clearance in whatever it may have been. You know, with Mr. Schmidt, it was you are just like the rest of us as a citizen, and you need to go through with it. So he refused to sign for the committee to do a background check, and he subsequently was removed.
Do you have the support of the rest of the committee for this? Has there been controversy on the committee?
There has been some controversy over the years. Of course, my side of the aisle, we're okay with it. There's always room for tweaks and movement. But I know from my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, there has been some consternation. And part of that comes from the fact that they feel that they should have the information on the background checks. And as I have stated to my leadership, is that it has been always, in my role as the chairwoman, for my eyes only, because this information is private. This information is something that the confirmees are willing for the committee to review. But as I say, I'm the gatekeeper. I review what the questionnaire says compared with a background check. And if there's a discrepancy, then I bring it to the attention of the committee. And the reason why is if something, information can be misconstrued in one way, shape, or form on people. You know, nobody of us is perfect in this world. There may be bankruptcies. There may be other financial information that not everybody needs to have their eyes, and the public doesn't need to be made aware specifically of this. Again, if there's a discrepancy that I've been able to find at this point, we do ask the questions, and I do let the committee know.
So are you still getting people from the press contacting you and say, coming up with things that you didn't know?
On occasion, not as bad as it used to be. Once in a while, yes. But what I do receive, Susan, is still a lot of community folk, persons, regular everyday citizens that do sometimes send letters to my attention. And it's very similar to, you know, I serve as the co-chair of the Ethics Committee for the legislature, and it's very much the same process. If someone sends me a letter and there's no signature or no return address, no way to verify, mm-hmm. I don't really pay attention to that because hearsay doesn't quite work. Okay. Hearsay, we don't do things by hearsay. You have to have something that's valid and verified. You know, I've received some letters over the years where there's a signature, but again, no return address, no way of finding out who this person is. So when I even get those, still not much credences that I give to it because, again, if we were to just let that information get out to the public, if I was to do that, I'm smearing somebody that's been appointed. And without some validation, verification of these hearsay accusations, then I have to be very careful mm-hmm. in what I do.
Okay. Well, that's not the only work of the Rules Committee.
You know, that's only one part of our work. And I know that recently for this past legislative session, you know, Governor Martinez has been trying to direct for what the committee does because that's all we do. Well, it isn't. In Senate Rules Committee, we also deal with the memorials, Senate joint memorials, House joint memorials, and the whole gamut of that. We deal with constitutional amendments. We do deal with election law. Any changes in board membership, committee membership that comes up comes through my committee also. So we have a plethora of things that we deal with, and I only have a limited staff, so there's only so much work that we can get done and put our attention to, but we do our best.
Have you enjoyed it?
I've enjoyed the process. I've learned a lot. I've met a lot of wonderful New Mexicans, both sides of the aisle, that you know are willing to give up of their time to serve the state of New Mexico. There's just so much that our state does and what potential we have. And the people that come in front of us, I may not agree with them all the time and as to what their positions are, but they are just like I, and we want, you know, our goal is to help the state of New Mexico. And that's, I think, from the votes that have come out of the committee, I think our state can feel comfortable that these folks are here. They're working with us in the state.
Okay, so you mean we can have confidence in the people that get through the committee?
I would say yes. You know, there's been a few folks, of course, that have gotten through the committee that, of course, I'm just one vote on the committee that I would have preferred not.
It sounds to me like you've made the committee more powerful than it was in the past.
Powerful. That's a whole other discussion. Well, I think what it is that we have given the committee solid footing. It's not the executive doing their whatever they do in their vetting process, but the legislature and the people of the state of New Mexico at least need to feel confident that these persons don't have a criminal history.
Okay, but power is another part of it, and let's talk about that a little bit, because things have to get through the committee. It does give you a certain amount of power.
And that's part of, for any chairman or chairwoman, that's our purview is to run our committees and, you know, as to how we feel is the way to run our committee. Everybody has a different style, a sense of management. And for Senate rules, I know there's been some criticism. I've received some criticism, not just under this administration, but the prior administration under Governor Richardson, too, in that we're not moving fast enough or that certain nominees were not getting through the committee. And again, confirmations are not the only thing that we do. You know, election law is very important, and it's a matter of trying to balance and making sure that we get the legislation through. We do, you know, have to prioritize sometimes some of the confirmees who come in front, like the secretaries of the departments, you know, State Investment Council, some of the other Board of Finance members. Those are usually the first ones that take the precedent, you know, Board of Regents at our universities, and those are the next level that comes through and the rest. So we do our best to make sure that we get through. And yes, it is a position of power, but it's something that I do respectfully.
Well, let's talk about some things where you decide, okay, this isn't going to go through. And the most prevalent example of that was Secretary Scandera, and you held that up for a couple of years. How do you make that decision?
Well, with Ms. Scandera, you know, the first year, of course, it was a new administration, as it was similar with Bill Richardson. You have everybody, and you have just tons of folks that come through. With Ms. Scandera and the background check process for she and the other nominees for positions of secretary, she was not the only one who was held up that first year, you know, Secretary Barala and a few others, because my mother had passed away that first year of Governor Martinez's term. And for the last 2 weeks of session, I was in mourning. I was with my mother while she was dying, and then, of course, her subsequent funeral. So that year, there were several that were left sitting there. But again, the secretaries can still be reappointed as an interim appointee, and they can still function with all the power be that they need. With Secretary Scandera, there were, of course, a lot of political issues that were coming up. And I think there was information that kept coming up in the next 30-day session. Short and sweet, we just never fully got the answers, I think, that the committee wanted and what we thought we needed. So finally, the subsequent year, we did have the hearing, and she was confirmed.
Okay. Do you sometimes hold them up until you think that the Senate has made up its mind of what it wants to do on these political appointees? You know, give them the time to sort of go back and forth?
Well, there's, you know, it's a deliberative process, and, you know, there are some folks who come through that are, I would say, give us pause to think a little bit more. And I think that's what we need to do. As you see it, what's happening up in D.C., they have their own issues, too. It's a process that we have to review and look at, and each one of us, I take my role very serious as to what we have to proceed. And again, I listen to my colleagues and see what and where we should be going. And if there's still more questions to be asked, then that needs to happen also.
Okay. It seemed to me during that time that you were kind of standing alone. And I was wondering if you were making decisions by yourself or if the caucus was deciding things that, of course, the public doesn't know about.
At that point, for Ms. Scandera's hearings, again, there was still a lot of conversations that were being held. And I can't say whether it was in the caucus or anything of that sort. It's just there was a lot of questions that were being asked and information that we were not getting. And I think that was just part of that 30-day session, which we had some pretty big bills on elections and such that needed also some movement. And in 30 days, I mean, the committee, you know, part of the thing is, too, is the Senate Rules Committee only meets 3 days a week. We meet in the morning, 8:30 till about 10:30-ish. We only have 2 hours in which to do our business because then we have to get to the floor for the floor session to be able to vote on any bills. If our committee had met in the afternoon, the afternoon committees don't have a time limit. Mm-hmm. They, like in judiciary, which I also sit on, we kind of go ad nauseum on that committee for time. But, you know, the committees that meet in the morning have a time limit. And 3 days a week, you try and get through some of these heavy hitters, some of the legislation in about 2 hours. That's a lot. With all the committee members that I have, there's plenty of talk, plenty of questions that come in. And for the public, you know, please go on nmlegis.gov during a session and watch us and learn how it's not just me that's talking on the committee, and it's for any of the committees. Each of my colleagues has an opportunity to ask questions, talk to each other on the committee, and I kind of manage the time, but I do my best. Such as this last session, I know that there was some question that was made for a couple of regent hearings that were not brought up, but we got through as many as we could. But again, we also had the secretaries to come in. And for one particular secretary, it took 2 hours just for questions. That's the full committee. That's it. That's all we could do for that one day before we had to go to the Senate floor to proceed on quorum down there and votes. So when you have that and you do your best, but if you try and cut off the dialogue from my colleagues, again, each one of us has a right to talk and ask questions. I know there's been some criticism as to why we have the Board of Regents and secretaries only done during an open session. Part of what my drive has been is to make sure that they're done during the full open session so that all of our colleagues are present and able to vote, hear the testimony. The news media is usually front and center, and you know a lot more information gets out during an open session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Do you think that you're treated differently as a woman since you're the only woman at this point who's chair of a Senate committee?
I believe that there are differences. And I've seen them and heard them over the years, even before I became chairwoman of Senate Rules, which I've been now since 2002. That's a long time. There are differences that have brought forward, even just as a legislator, as a woman. And as a parent with a young child, when I served on the Legislative Finance Committee, I used to get notes left on my desk, on my chair, wherever we were hearing, that with Lorenzo at the time, because he was moving, he's a toddler, that this is the reason why women shouldn't be in office. Yeah. I should have been home raising my child and not running and being elected official. And Senator Altamirano was chairman of the Legislative Finance Committee at that time, and he told me, it's okay, mija, it's okay. But I told him, no, it's not okay. I took offense at it, and I made a statement. They didn't like it, but I don't care. There are other instances, even as the chairwoman, where I know there's been complaints said about my not being on time. I happen to take offense at that. Well, I would challenge also my colleagues, because you can time the men just as well, and they're not on time either. You know, there are differences, complaints as to how I run my committee. Yeah, and I do question, well, how come there's no questions made of how the men run their committees? You know, whether they're sticklers for this or not sticklers for something else. I don't hear the complaints, but I have heard them about me.
Okay.
And there's differences, but it's something that as a woman, you got to stand up and say, bring it on.